Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. So we are continuing to go through the book of 1 Kings. We're going to be in chapter 19 this week, and we're going to be talking about Elijah and Jezebel. So let's start here in verse 1. It says, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So I'm going to pause here with chapter 19, and we're going to go back to our previous chapter. Now, in the previous chapter, in chapter 18, is where Elijah challenges the priest of Baal, and basically they each build an altar, and he says, we're going to see who the true God is. We're going to build an altar, and we're going to see which God answers, which one brings down fire and lights the sacrifice, lights the altar. And if we remember, as we look back at that story, Baal, the priest of Baal, they build their altar, they call upon their God, but fire never comes. Elijah builds his altar, he pours water on it, and fire comes from heaven. So I want to read a passage here at the end of that chapter here, which speaks about what had occurred there in chapter 18. So we look at verse 36. It says, and at the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Yahweh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Yahweh, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Yahweh, are God, and that you have turned hearts back. Then the fire of Yahweh fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, Yahweh, he is God. Yahweh, he is God. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they seized them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slaughtered them there. So we see here in verse 40, upon Yahweh answering Elijah's prayer, you could say his call, right, to ignite the altar, God showing everyone who was there on that mountain who the true living God was. We see there in verse 39, when the people saw it, they fell on their faces. Yahweh, he is God. Yahweh, he is God. Yahweh showed his faithfulness unto Elijah at this moment. He showed himself to be the true living God in front of all the people at that moment in time. At that moment, they saw who was the true living God. Baal was shown to be a fraud. And upon that, Elijah does that which is righteous. He puts the priest of the false god to death. Okay. Now, upon him doing this, this provokes a response in Jezebel. So as we had read in our first passage, Ahab goes and tells Jezebel what has occurred. Basically telling her that Elijah challenged the priest of Baal. Yahweh answers, the priest Baal does not answer his priest, and all the prophets or the priests of Baal are put to death by Elijah. So he goes and he passes this message along to Jezebel. Now, Jezebel's response isn't the same as the people there. So we see here in verse 39, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. Yahweh is God. Yahweh, he is God. That is not going to be the response that we get from Ahab or Jezebel. Even Ahab himself doesn't say, Yahweh, he is God, but he runs to Jezebel to tell him what happened. And so we pick up in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 2, then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. Then he was afraid. And he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. So Jezebel's response is not to praise Yahweh, isn't to see that Yahweh is the one true living God. No, she's upset. She's angry. She's mad. She's like, may I do to you what you have done to these prophets or these priests of Baal. So basically, she tells Elijah that I am going to come and I am going to kill you. I'm going to take your life because of what you have done. So Elijah has provoked the enemy. He has made the enemy upset. Now we think about the story of Elijah and the story of what Yahweh did for him on that mountain. You know, we are called to be his mouthpiece, to be his prophet, just as Elijah was. And we walk in covenant with a covenant-keeping God, whose desire is for the redemption of mankind. He desires for every heart to turn towards him. That is why God showed what he did on that mountain. He wanted the people to see, I am the true God. Worship me. As we are sent out to be his mouthpiece, as Elijah was, we can count on his faithfulness and for his spirit to be with us. And his spirit will make known that he is God. We can count on that and we can rest assured of that, that he will do things and he will perform signs and he will perform wonders to show that he is the true living God and that he desires for people to turn their hearts towards him. He desires to bring restoration, to bring redemption, to bring forgiveness, to bring restoration. That is his heart's desire, and he longs to do that. And so as we go and we're doing his business, we're also going to see, though, just as Elijah does this thing, which catches the eyes of the people, the enemy was upset. And the enemy will get upset with us. The enemy does not like for his kingdom to be attacked. So he will get on the defensive and he will attempt to try to attack back. But it's important to realize, because even in the threat that Jezebel made, Jezebel never succeeded in taking the life of Elijah. In fact, it would be the other way around. Jezebel would be the one who would die. But something that's of interest in this is the way Elijah responds to hearing the message from Jezebel. Elijah has just witnessed the faithfulness of God there on that mountain, watching him bring fire down, showing that Yahweh is the one true living God over Baal. We talked a week ago about the faithfulness that Yahweh showed Elijah during the drought, how he was led by God to a brook, he was fed by a raven, and had water to drink during the drought. Then when the brook dried up, God led him to a widow who God sustained both Elijah, the widow, and her son through the drought with the oil and the grain that she had until the drought was over. And when Elijah had shown up, she was ready to prepare her last meal because she was that low on food. She was preparing the last meal for her and her son to eat before they die. But yet Yahweh sustained the three of them through the end of the drought. So Elijah has seen the faithfulness of God. He has witnessed this. What causes Elijah, upon hearing this news, to actually be afraid? To actually flee for his life? Did he forget the faithfulness of God? In that moment, was he so captured by what he had heard, and that was all he could think about, that he forgot about the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God? Do we ever find ourselves in those moments? Will we hear something that is bad, and that thing just totally captures all of our thoughts, all of our thinking, and we totally forget about our God? We totally forget about his faithfulness. We totally forget about all the times he has shown us his faithfulness, his goodness. And so because we forget it and we're focused upon the bad thing we've heard, we respond in the fear of that thing instead of responding in the faith of walking in covenant with Yahweh. So Elijah responds in fear. He runs away. But as we go through this story, we're going to see something pretty interesting in here. In verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Yahweh. Take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank, and lay down again. And the angel of Yahweh came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. So Elijah, upon hearing that Jezebel wanted him dead, flees for his life. He responds in fear. And upon fleeing for his life, he lays down underneath a tree. He sits down underneath the tree and is basically just saying, take away my life. Even though Elijah did not respond to what Jezebel said in the way that Yahweh wanted him to respond, because I'm pretty sure that Yahweh did not want Elijah to respond in fear. His preferred method probably would have been for Elijah to stand in boldness and faith, knowing that he's walking in covenant with Yahweh. And no matter what the enemy tries to do, the enemy can bring no harm. And it's nice to say that we're going to respond that way every time we face a situation like that, that we stand in boldness and courage, knowing that the enemy can do no harm unto us. But we're all weak. We all have this fleshly nature to us, just as we see with Elijah. Elijah was weak. He struggled in his flesh. And a moment in time, even upon seeing the faithfulness and the provision and the help of Yahweh, he still responded in fear when Jezebel threatened him. And in his weakness, God did not turn his back on Elijah. He did not look at Elijah and say, because you responded this way, I'm going to leave you underneath that tree to die. But no, he showed his faithfulness. He showed his goodness, his mercy unto Elijah, even in the moment when Elijah wasn't necessarily doing what he was supposed to be doing. Elijah wasn't supposed to be underneath that tree, but yet God showed up where Elijah was anyway. And he showed his faithfulness unto Elijah anyway. Our God understands that we have weaknesses. He understands that we are weak. We are called to walk in covenant with him. But in our covenant, and as we're walking with him, we're going to stumble, we're going to fall. And he is not sitting up there waiting for that moment so he can thump us. It's the exact opposite. When we stumble and when we fall, he is there to help pick us up, to bring us back to where we're supposed to be. He knew Elijah wasn't where he was supposed to be. So what did he do? He went and he met Elijah where he was. And just as he fed Elijah by the creek during the drought, he feeds Elijah again underneath this tree. He reminds Elijah of his faithfulness. Then upon reminding him of his faithfulness, he feeds him and he says, what does the angel tell him? Arise and eat, for the journey is great. What was the journey for? Because Elijah needed to go where he was supposed to be. And what does Elijah do? He arises, he eats, and he drinks, and he goes in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to the Mount of God, to Horeb, the place that he was supposed to be. That is how we are to respond when God brings correction. Elijah lost focus for a little bit. He responded in fear. He ran away, and he was not where he was supposed to be. God in his faithfulness comes to where Elijah is, reminds him of his faithfulness, reminds him of his goodness, and then calls Elijah back to where Elijah was supposed to be. Then Elijah does the right thing. He goes to where he's supposed to be. That is the love of our Father. That is what he desires to do. When we mess up, his desire isn't to come and to beat us over the head. His desire is to come and to bring correction in a loving and gentle way, sometimes reminding us of his faithfulness, reminding of us our goodness. He knows what we need in that moment in time to get us back on course. In a very loving, gentle, and kindness way, he will come to us to set us back on track, to get us back where we're supposed to be. He doesn't just leave us and let us wander off. He didn't just leave Elijah there to wander off. But he comes and he gathers him up to bring him back to where he was supposed to be. Does the same thing with us. He has given us his law because he loves us. His law brings protection unto us. His law brings joy unto us. Sin is pleasurable for a season, but it does not bring joy. There's only one thing that's going to bring joy, and that is walking in covenant with Yahweh and walking in obedience to his word. So he loved us, so he gave us his law, and because he loves us, he's going to bring correction when we deviate from that law. But he's going to do it in a loving and gentle and kind way. And even when we wander off track from what we're called to do in our purpose, he will lovingly come along and bring us back. Now let's look at verse 9. There he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of Yahweh came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So upon getting to the cave, Yahweh asked him, what are you doing here, Elijah? What is going on? Why have you run from Jezebel? Why did you go hide underneath the tree? Why have you been told to come here? Why are you here, Elijah? God knows the answer. Let's look at verse 10. He said, I have been very jealous for Yahweh, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. So Elijah's response is that he believes that the people of Israel have forsaken their covenant with Yahweh. And that he is the only one left in Israel who is worshiping Yahweh. I guess we can see the mentality of Elijah at this moment. Upon seeing the faithfulness of God and seeing God show himself as the one true God of Israel, and the prophets of Baal are shown to be false, Jezebel's response is to want to kill Elijah. Elijah feels as if the nation of Israel is with Jezebel and not with him. So even upon seeing this great act occur, he feels as if he is the only one who is jealous for Yahweh and has not forsaken his covenant. And that the nation itself is after him to take his life because they have no desire to walk in covenant with God. They only desire to worship Baal. So he feels alone. He feels defeated. So even upon seeing the great act that God did, he feels defeated. Elijah at this moment in time had a bad perception. He was seeing or perceiving the wrong thing. Let's look at verse 13. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for Yahweh, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, and even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And Yahweh said to him, "Go. Return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So Elijah thought he was alone. But here he sees, or he is told, there are 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed their knee to Baal. Elijah just needed to see things from a different angle. Sometimes when we're going through things, we need to see things from a different perspective, through a different lens. Sometimes we get so caught up in seeing things how it appears from where we are. But God in his faithfulness spoke to Elijah and gave him a perspective that was different than the one he had. We need to learn to seek his perspective, to ask him, can I see this situation that I'm going through the way you see it, not the way I see it? Because if we are open to see it through his eyes, it can change the way we feel and we see the situation. Even when Elijah felt defeated, when Elijah felt like giving up, God didn't let him. God remained faithful. God was there. God encouraged him. We serve a loving God who will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Just like he did not leave Elijah and he did not forsake Elijah. Even when Elijah felt defeated, God did not forsake Elijah. Hallelujah. That is who we serve. He is faithful unto us. And it's because of his faithfulness and because of his love for us that should desire a response in us to walk in faithfulness to him and to show our love unto him through obedience. Well, hallelujah, we are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now and shalom, y'all.